Good morning, I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Reports from an independent safety panel show radioactive contamination was found on a worker's hands and other places at Los Alamos National Laboratory. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports that, according to weekly briefings from the Defense Nuclear Facility Safety Board, all pipe fitting work was paused after a crew had to be stripped and decontaminated on May 16th because of the discovery at the lab. The briefings also show members of another crew placed plutonium salts in a prohibited area, and the lab says that incident did not result in a significant safety risk to workers or the public. The lapses are the latest in a series of radiation releases and operational mistakes at Los Alamos. The events were self-reported by the lab as part of what the lab says is an effort to improve and maintain a safety culture. On the Tuesday Health Watch, lung cancer. The American Cancer Society ranks it as the second most common cancer in both men and women. But so far, a screening program approved in 2015 for those most at risk has found relatively few takers. Sam Baker talked about why with Dr. David Gerber of UT Southwestern Medical Center. The lung cancer physician was active in creating a screening program for the disease at Parkland Hospital. He began by describing the screening test.
Because it's low dose, it's only about one-fifth the radiation dose of a standard CAT scan. Number two, it's really fast. So the individual goes into the CAT scanner, they're asked to take a deep breath and hold it, then the CAT scan is done and they exhale.
That's enough to detect lung cancer?
That's correct. They don't have to get an IV placed, and there's not a risk of allergic reaction or other toxicity.
Who is eligible for this lung cancer screening program?
People need to be at least age 55. And depending on whether you're looking at the United States Preventive Services Task Force or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, the upper age cutoff is either 77 or 80. And then patients must have smoked 30 pack years of cigarettes or more. If you've smoked one pack of cigarettes per day for 30 years, that's 30 pack years. Two packs of cigarettes a day for 15 years, that's 30 pack years, and so on. If you've already quit smoking, you may still be eligible for lung cancer screening, but you must have quit within the past 15 years. If you quit 40 years ago, then you would no longer be eligible.
If I were a person who met that criteria, I might be inclined to think, I don't know if I want to go through that screening. I'm just afraid of what it's going to tell me.
So I think that's fair. I do. And I think that's something that people may feel about cancer screening in general. If someone has an individual history of smoking several decades and now they're reaching their 60s and 70s, their personal risk of developing lung cancer may exceed 15%. And without screening, the vast majority of lung cancers are diagnosed in stage 3 or 4 when they're almost never curable. If we can diagnose a lung cancer in stage 1 when it's very small and it can be treated with a small surgical procedure or focused radiation treatment, that leads to a far better outcome. I think the other thing to remember about lung cancer screening is that the smoking piece is an integral part of it, and it's not conversely a reason for smokers to feel comfortable with ongoing smoking. If someone can quit smoking, that benefit winds up being, over time, even greater than the benefit of lung cancer screening itself. So if both are put together, it really becomes very effective.
What are you saying? It's never too late to quit?
The risk of lung cancer starts dropping immediately when people stop smoking. If someone has quit smoking 20, 30, 40 years ago, then their risk of lung cancer is dropping below half of what it might have been at the peak, maybe even below 25% of what it was. Mm-hmm. That's the single greatest intervention an individual can take.
How do you raise more awareness about the lung cancer screening program?
The way that I started the program at Parkland last year was by going to the physicians who day to day are seeing these patients, patients with less education, patients at lower socioeconomic levels who actually have greater smoking history and have greater risk of lung cancer. Going to those physicians and all of those individual community sites, we've actually since built one of the largest urban lung cancer screening programs in the country. Getting buy-in at the level of the healthcare system is critical. Getting buy-in and awareness to high-risk individuals is also critical. And the best way to do that can be difficult. There are some types of screening that are very portable. With lung cancer screening, it does need to be a little bit more centralized because not only do you need to have the equipment to do the CAT scan, but you absolutely need to have a system in place where you have radiologists who are aware of how to interpret the scans and what recommendations to make. I think you need to have a system in place where individuals who are considering lung cancer screening are truly presented with the risks and the benefits and assisted in the decision-making process. And you need to have a system whereby people don't fall through the cracks of the process.
Dr. Gerber, thank you for being with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.